by giving. Remember, Pastor Weldon talked about when you're kind, it naturally releases serotonin. I mean, God has created us in a way, it's absolutely supernatural and unbelievable. So who remembers those MasterCard commercials, those ones priceless, those priceless MasterCard commercials? Remember those? It's kind of like, you know, gas, $40. Slurpee, $2. Pack of bubble gum, $1. Restoration of a marriage, priceless, right? You know? So I was thinking about things in my life that have been priceless, and I have been blessed to be able to be at the birth, present at the birth of my two daughters. Priceless. The day that my wife said yes to marriage and the day that we got married, priceless. You know, the day that I came to Jesus Christ and to know him as Lord and Savior, priceless. And I think about all these things, and I think about the education that I've had in life and what I've been through, the trainings. You know, I do hold a degree, but I also hold a certificate in everything. You know, it's kind of like, and then I started to meditate and think on the things that really matter in life. And there's a lot of things that I know, but they don't really matter in life. Or should I say, they're not really priceless in life. And so I started to reflect on the things that were priceless to me in life. Everybody say, flip the script.
Flip the script.
Today I want to flip the script. You know, Jesus is King of Kings, but yet he came to serve. You know, the kingdom of God's kind of backwards. You know how we do things? He says, those that are first shall be last, and those that are last shall be first. It's kind of a backwards kingdom that we live in. And I want to bring kind of a clarity of understanding that things that happen not only in my life, but I know has happened in your life as well. And maybe you can have a different way of thinking about things as we go through some things. Last week I talked about doing life together. I talked about koinonia. And I brought scripture to play out of Acts 2, 42 through 47. And I'm going to go to that scripture, so you can turn to that at any time. I'm going to go to that again. Many of you were able to be here last week because of the storm, but I know many of you listened online. And so I'm not going to recap the whole entire thing that I did last week, but it's important that faith come by hearing and by hearing of the Word of God and know where we're at in things. And so this morning, as we come together and we've experienced this worship together, we are actually doing life together. We're experiencing the bigger things, the bigger picture of life together, and celebrating this together is an important thing. So the early church in Acts 2:42, let's go there and read. If you're there, say, I am there. All right. So this is entitled The Community of Believers. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body. Does any of this sound familiar? Have any of you seen that today? I ask that again. Have any of you seen that today? Have you seen that this morning? Okay. And they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute proceeds to those who were in need among them. Have you heard about that today?
Yes.
Okay. Daily, they met together in the temple courts, the church, and they were also in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meal together. Anyone going to go and share a meal with someone today in here? Yeah? Yeah? If not, I encourage you to try and do so. And they did it with joyful hearts. So they must have been spinning around the whole time, right? And tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord kept adding to the church, adding to their numbers daily, those that were coming to life or those that were being saved. Amen? And then last week, I went into this thing of kind of repetition, repeat of they met together, they ate together, They prayed together. The first one I forgot, they learned together. Amen? They learned together. They ate together. They met together. They prayed together. And this was the early church. But God is the same today as he was yesterday, as he will be tomorrow. Amen? So what does that mean? That means that the way the early church formed is the way that this church should still now be. Nothing has changed other than the time frame that we live in. You know, we're not all working and plowing the fields, but we're all working because you cannot live without that. Amen? And so we come together corporately so that we can do these things together corporately, so that we can then give out to the rest of the church community together corporately. Amen? And so last week, I tried to get us to understand the importance of koinonia, the importance of meeting together, the importance of coming together, the importance of doing life together, the importance of partnering together in this Christian walk. Amen? So today I want to talk about them learning together, right? So I have read the Bible many, many different times, and I've read the same scripture over many, many times. And sometimes I read through it, and I don't get the full understanding of it. But then I surround myself with other people as we meet together and learn together, and all of a sudden they shed a light that I don't understand. And all of a sudden I'm able to see more clearly now what that scripture is really meaning. Again, because you can't separate the church itself. You see, the church had four parts. They learned together, they met together, they ate together, and they prayed together. It wasn't by itself. And if I was trying to learn by myself, I wouldn't be learning at the level or the speed that I have been learning at. Not saying that I'm greater, like, oh man, I've learned so quick, but I'm telling you, I'm driven in this, and I surround myself with those that also know the word so I can get feedback from them on what they see. What does this word mean to you? And all of a sudden, they share it to me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I never saw it that way. I put the God goggles on, and all of a sudden, I can see it clearly. I'm like, wow, thank you for sharing that with me. And it's not just Pastor Weldon sharing the revelation with me. It's other believers sharing this revelation with me. You don't have to have a degree in divinity to understand the Word of God. But we do need the body of Christ to understand the Word of God more clearly. Because the Word of God is word in action, and we're not doing anything if we're trying to do it all by ourselves. It's by coming together in this point of action that we're actually seeing a change and a difference. Everybody say, flip the script again. Because I'm going to flip the script on you. Today I want to talk about these priceless lessons that I've learned. So I've learned things like 2 + 2 is important, but it's not priceless. I learned how to drive. It's important in my life. But learning how to drive isn't priceless. I went through nursing school. Was in the medical field for 30 years. 20 years. I'm not that old. No, 30 years. No, I am that old. Oh my gosh. I'm that old. 30 years. 30. Wow. I don't feel that old. That's the thing. But in that 30 years, I mean, you have to go through training. And I've been able to save lives with the medical training that I've had. But it's not priceless. It's not priceless as compared to what I'll be talking about as I flip the script on you. Forgiveness is priceless. Breakthrough is priceless. Who I am in Christ is priceless. My potential is priceless. My inheritance as a Christian is priceless. Who my Heavenly Father is and knowing Him is priceless. And my authority in this kingdom is priceless, and the power that I have through the Holy Spirit is priceless. You see, because I can live a life, and I want you guys to fill in blanks as well. I could live a life the way I was before I came to Christ, and I could have a whole lot of good times, I could have a whole lot of victories, I could have a whole lot of success, but it still wouldn't add up to the lessons that I've learned coming to Christ. Coming to Christ has been the most important lesson in my life, and you cannot put a price on it. It's priceless. Matter of fact, Jesus paid the price. And there's no higher price to pay than what he did on the cross for us. And when we come to the understanding and the realization of what Jesus Christ did and who he is in your life individually, wow, watch out, because then you start to see things in a different light. Remember I told you forgiveness is priceless? This is where I flip the script on you. I am so, sometimes it's even hard to say this, but I am so incredibly grateful for the people who have hurt me. I am so grateful for the person that physically hurt me, mentally hurt me, emotionally hurt me. I am so grateful to those individuals because we know as a Christian they're not our enemy, right? It's the spirit behind it. But if I would have never been hurt, I would have never known what unforgiveness was. Because you see, before Christ, I carried unforgiveness around because it was my mindset, just like everybody in the world's mindset, they don't deserve to be forgiven. But you see, I wouldn't understand the true meaning and the true feeling and the true freedom you get of forgiveness if I didn't know the unforgiveness. But when I came to Christ, and it got explained to me that living a life in unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. And I got that revelation understanding by being with other people, right? Now, I didn't get this on my own, guys. It was about being a part of a church body. It was about coming together, learning together. And in the process of learning that, I was able to just confess forgiveness because you have to speak it. You have to grant it before you'll ever feel it. You have to speak it out first. And by doing so, my life was set free. We were talking about, oh, I forget the name of the song today, but just about chains being broken, right? Or the earth shaking when you read the red letters. It was the red letter song, PK. Wow, you want to talk about earth shaking, priceless freedom? Is when I no longer carried unforgiveness towards anyone. When I can walk out my house or live in my house every day of my life knowing that if anybody does me wrong, I simply forgive them and do not even lay it to their account. I go the extra mile, and the freedom that comes from that is supernatural. It is nothing that can be done in the natural realm. You feel it in the natural realm, but you release it into the supernatural realm and watch what happens and takes place in your life. Far too often, I still talk to individuals that say, I can't forgive. I don't know how to forgive. Because you get forgetting and forgiveness confused. You think that in forgiving, you have to forget. And I'm here to tell you, forgetting will come and you won't think about it anymore once you forgive. You see, when you are in unforgiveness, the thought that you have is always on why you don't forgive. But once you forgive, you don't have that thought anymore. It's a priceless lesson because it is a proven fact that those that live in unforgiveness are physically unhealthy. Your health is affected. Your physical health is affected when you live in unforgiveness. I don't care if the person that did you wrong doesn't deserve forgiveness. You do. The forgiveness is for you, no one else. Are you worth it? So then the next question comes, if you live in unforgiveness, is it because you don't love yourself? And if you don't love yourself, is it because you don't forgive yourself? But the Jesus I serve says that he came to die for the whole world. But why? Because you're unworthy? No, because you're that worthy, because you're worth something. You're his precious child, and he loves you. Another lesson. But I'm here to tell you, if the church in a whole, I'm talking about the church worldwide, would everyone catch the understanding about forgiveness and the freedom that comes, you wouldn't have the prisoners in the church. The church body is filled with people who are still imprisoned because they're still in bondage, because they're still holding on to hurt. Be thankful. Try this today. Before you leave here today, you thank God for the person, the someone, whatever it may be, that hurt you. And you release them. And in doing so, you release yourself. And you say, Pastor Mike, but you have no idea what I've been through. And I probably don't, but you don't have any idea what I've been through. You see, at times when we think it's the worst it can ever be, there's always somebody who's had it worse than you. So I would say, quit comparing yourself to others and the hurt that you've been through, because hurt is hurt. Just like sin is sin, don't put levels of sin out there. Hurt is hurt. And until you find the ability to forgive, you'll be in bondage and a prisoner, and God does not want that for you. He doesn't. Period, right? Period. I am so grateful. I am grateful for my enemies, for I understand now that they're really friends. You see, enemies aren't our enemies. They're just somebody you haven't been friendly to yet. When we flip the script and understand that everything out of the, see, an enemy's out of the kingdom of God, but in the kingdom of God, there are no enemies. And you're children of God living in the kingdom of God. You have to shift your mindset. You have to change the way you think. Because, see, when you're thinking like the world, every aspect that comes against you that lives in that realm is that of the world. But you're children of God. And when you start to think in that mindset, people aren't your enemy. It's the spirit behind it that's your enemy. Do battle against the spirit, not the person. And they'll be a friend. Bless your enemies, the Bible says. Right? Pray for your enemies, the Bible says. Forgive your enemies, the Bible says. I am grateful for those negative individuals and the negativity that I've had in my life. Because if I would never known negativity, I would have never understood what positive or the freedom that comes from being positive. You ever seen that individual where everything around them is doom and gloom? Everything. It's like you can't ever... It's difficult to be around people who are always complaining. Right? Am I being transparent enough? I don't care who you are, but you need to evaluate yourself. If you are constantly living in negativity, ask yourself why, and simply turn it to positive. But you see, there's a balance in there through everything that we have, everything that we do in life. So I'm grateful for the times that I've been negative, because I know the breakthrough that comes when I'm positive. Anybody ever cried before? Yep. Isn't it interesting that you can certainly cry when you're emotionally hurt, right? And you can cry when you're physically hurt. But who's ever cried because they're so joyful? Amen? So before Christ, growing up in the streets of California, being in the Army for 9 years, I didn't cry, period. And if it was ever a situation where it was like I was gonna cry, man, I choked that back so hard. It just didn't come out. But in that, because of that, I was a very hard individual. I was a very, I could still be told I have a stoic face at times, but I was very calloused. And then I came to Christ. And I remember shortly after coming to Christ, I went to an encounter. And it was a 3-day encounter, and it was a men's encounter, put on by Shield of Faith here. And I had this brand new Bible, because I was a brand new Christian, and this Bible barely had any creases in it, but I was trying to get into that. And I remember, man, my Bible had white stains on the cover of it because I cried for 3 days. And the salt in my tears stained the outer course of my Bible, the cover of my Bible. And I remember coming back that Sunday, it was a Friday through a Sunday, coming back, we met here Sunday morning to give testimony, and I remember so clear to this day that song that says, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I mean, I cried so much over those 3 days, but they were tears of joy, because I was being set free, left and right, because I was together with others, right? I wasn't doing this by myself. I was together with others, But I had so much freedom that came, I was crying tears of joy. But I was so grateful for the hurt and those tears that I held up for so long, because when I came to Christ, the crying broke through in joy. And still to this day, when the Holy Spirit shows up really powerful in me, I get choked up and cry. I mean, if you see me with tears in my eyes, come on, man, let's pray, because I am ready, because the Holy Spirit's moving. I'm telling you, you see me up here, those in the back watching me up front, you see me grab the white cloth, man, start wiping my eyes, watch out, Holy Spirit's all over me. Man, because it is the power of God that is breaking through. Who else cries when the Holy Spirit shows up? I'm not the only one. There you are. Who else hears from God in the shower? Yeah, I'm not the only one, yeah. Kind of drowns out all that other stuff. See, there's a lot more in common. We have a lot more in common than what you think. Oh, I am grateful for the people who have made me angry, and I'm grateful for understanding what anger is like. Because without being angry and have worked through that, I wouldn't understand what it's like to be happy. Flipping the script. I want us to see that there's bad things that take place in life, but we take that bad and turn it to good. Do you see, evil is simply the absence of good. Amen?
Amen.
And God is what? Good, because there is no evil there. And if we can put ourselves into the position of being with God and walking with God, then all of that junk doesn't exist. If we can take our thinking and transform it the way the Bible tells us to, not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we would understand that it's good and healthy to be together. It's good and healthy to learn together, to meet together, to eat together, and pray together. We prayed for that young child this morning that was diagnosed with a neuroblastoma. I am telling you right now, the power of prayer is effectual. It's effective. And I'm here to tell you, I'm expecting that there will not be cancer anymore in that little child. Because we prayed together. There's power in that. And in being hurt, if I would have never been hurt, I would never know what it's like to heal. Did you know scars that heal over that skin is stronger than the other parts of skin? Even surgeons don't like to do surgery on an old scar because it's tougher than the regular old skin. You see, you need to be thankful. Thank God for the hurt you've had, because those hurts create scars and that scar is stronger. Think about it that way. You're a stronger individual because you've been hurt in the past. Your freedom comes when you let go of the person who hurts you and find forgiveness. And oh, you want to be a powerful individual? You want to walk out in the fullness that God has created for you? I'm right back to the forgiveness. And I am grateful to God that I have hated people. I've hated a lot of people in my life, because I've been hurt by a lot of people in my life. But because of that deep hatred that I had, keyword had, I wouldn't understand the power of the love that was given to me. I look at people in a different way now. I still have rules and regulations in my life. I still have things that I need to follow and want to follow that are right, would be a right way to be a good person. And still, I have to not walk in flesh and make those decisions. But the power of love is greater than all those things. And that takes us to Scripture in Corinthians 13. You guys know that Scripture? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. And this is Paul speaking. Paul was a pretty anointed individual, right? Pretty anointed. Used to write 2/3 of the New Testament. I mean, this guy was used powerfully by God. And he says, if I were to speak with eloquence and earth, in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love. My words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains but have never learned to love, then I am nothing. And if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr, without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. See, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, not selfishly seeking its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. The two biggest lessons, priceless lessons that I learned was to forgive others, but more importantly than that was to love others. Do you see, when love takes the forefront in your heart, when love takes you and grabs you, and that's what you see over everything else, then the ability to forgive others is there. The ability to move beyond your hurt is there. The ability to look at someone who's done you wrong and not hate them, but love them, is there. And this is a supernatural thing. The Bible says that God is love. And he gave us his spirit to live in us so that we would have the same loving spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same powerful spirit that brought salvation to us all. The grace that God gives is the epitome of love. I would ask each and every one of us, next time somebody does something you don't like, sow some grace to them. Amen? And I close with this final scripture in 1 Peter 2. And I'm going to read 1 Peter 2, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 9. So keep coming to him who is the living stone, that's Jesus Christ. Though he was rejected and discarded by men, but chosen by God, and is priceless in God's sight. For it says in Scripture, "Look, I lay a cornerstone in Zion, a chosen and priceless stone, and whoever believes in him will certainly not be disappointed. And you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings in a spiritual nation. You're set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world." The early church that is still the church today learned together, they met together, they ate together, and they prayed together. In that practice, mountains are moved. Areas are changed. The enemy flees. We have the keys to the kingdom of God. Amen? And the church will prevail. And the gates of hell cannot prevail. Amen? Stand our feet, close in prayer. Father, during this season that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, I just thank you that this is a time where we reflect on the importance of giving. and the importance of who you are in our lives. Father, I pray that during this time, Lord, I pray before anyone even leaves here today or those that are listening online, that if they are walking in a place of unforgiveness or if they are walking in a place where they don't love, a negative place, a down place, a desperate place, Father, I pray that they would give themselves the gift of knowing who you are, that they would give themselves the gift of receiving your Son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they would turn their focus away from the horrors of life and look to the beauty and the glory of the life that you lay out before us. And Father, for those of us that know you, I thank you that we can stand confidently knowing that, Father, we have what we ask for and we ask for you. And we thank you, God, that you have given us the ability to come boldly to the throne room to bring all our requests. We thank you, Father, for those that have received miracles throughout this past week and for the answered prayers that will come this week. But, Father, one of the greatest miracles is those that don't know you coming to know you. I pray, God, for those that are listening right now, for those in our families that maybe have walked away or don't know you, those that professed atheism, Father, that they would come to know you, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, the giver of life, the giver of the good gift, where we can come to a place where we call you God, Father, Abba, Father, our daddy, our provider, and our giver of all things. Father, be with my brothers and sisters on this day, and I pray, God, that you continually bless them in their comings and goings, as your word says that we are blessed in and we are blessed going out. Father, I thank you that we can go out and find good pasture, Father. Thank you that you love us, and because of that, God, we can love you. So, Father, today we lay down unforgiveness and we lay down hatred and we pick up the armor and the mantle of love and we pick up the armor and the mantle of forgiveness and we declare with our mouths that we forgive anyone who has spoken ill against us. And, Lord, we say, do not lay it to their account, but in turn bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.